Proverbs tonight, chapter number 1, book of Proverbs, chapter number 1. And we're going to read from verse number 20 down to, I believe, the end of the chapter. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 1. How many read a proverb a day to keep the devil away? Some of you do that? Amen. I seen one hand. All right, the rest of you have devil problems, huh? Seriously, a tremendous, tremendous book for you and I to study constantly over and over and over again. Whether you read a chapter a day or a few of the verses a day, what a tremendous book it is. Chapter number 1, verse number 20, and we'll read down to verse number 33. It says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Father, thank you. We have the privilege, first of all, to enter this house. Thank you for the warmth of it. We thank you, O God, for the privilege of knowing you. Spirit of God, for dwelling in our hearts, for loving us in spite of who we are. We need of your teaching tonight. We need of your truth to enter into our hearts, our souls. And so, Lord, I pray that we might come before you with humility. We might allow you to speak to our hearts. And Spirit of God, we ask you to fill this place, work in a mighty way. Oh God, only you are the one who can really reach into our hearts and do that necessary work. So we ask for that tonight, for we pray it in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated tonight. Interesting, in the Word of God, we find that wisdom is shown as a woman walking in the business district of a city. So she crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of concord. And it says in the opening of the gates, the place where the city fathers would sit, the place of, if you please, the city council. And so we find this woman is here and she's speaking to some different types of people. And it's interesting that throughout the book of Proverbs, you can take these three different types along with this woman and you can find really four individuals. We find, of course, wisdom in the form of the woman here, but we also find that she speaks to the simple ones. We find in the book of Proverbs, chapter 7, verse 7 says this, "And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." A simple person doesn't understand. They see a situation and they don't get it. It's beyond their comprehension. They have a simple mind. He also speaks of the scorner. I believe there's a couple of verses that help us to realize and come to an understanding, if we're not a simple one, of what a scorner is. Chapter 21, verse 24 says, "Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." He says in chapter 22, verse 18, "Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease." A scorner is one who seems to have such great pride that he looks on everything else with disdain. He is always right, always in that position where he can look down upon the other and view with scorn. We also find he speaks of the fool. And the fool, in some ways, is like the scorner. He believes he has all of the answers. Chapter 12, verse 13 says, or 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." There are some people you cannot tell anything to because they're always, always right. God calls these the simple. He calls them the scorner and the fool. This woman, this one called wisdom, observes them going in the wrong direction. And she issues a warning to them of their error if they keep going. She declares to them that if they keep going, she will help them no further. And walks away laughing at their calamity. That's interesting. She warns them, but when they keep on going and they fall into a bad situation, she laughs at them and allows them to keep going in that direction. I believe there's a key to this story, and it is found in what the person hears when wisdom speaks. I want to take you to verse 23, then verse 25, and verse 34. We find here that as wisdom is speaking, there's something she brings to them that they will not acknowledge. Notice verse 23. You're going to see this word. It says, "Turn you at my reproof." Notice verse 25. "But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." And then notice verse number 30. It says, "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." We can learn from this chapter a proper attitude to the fear of God. We can learn from this chapter a proper attitude to authority. We can learn from this chapter, by the way, a proper attitude towards money. But oh, how we need a proper attitude toward wisdom. For wisdom comes so often in the form of reproof. That's an interesting word. For that word reproof is a word that simply is meaning that they are seeking to convince. Convincement, if you please. In the New Testament, we find that this word is sometimes translated and we use the word convict. They are convicted. In other words, when a person is convicted of a crime, they are shown to be wrong from the evidence. And thus, it has come upon them. As my son in the back can tell you very well, most of the criminals, if not all of them, that sat in his jail cells, do not believe that they are there for the right reason. They're all innocent. They're victims of society. They have not listened to the convincement or the conviction that came upon them. They would not listen to reproof, and thus they went in their errors, and now they are behind bars, and wisdom laughs at them. There's a way that we must accept conviction. There is a way that we must accept correction and allow that to thus bring wisdom into our lives. Many a time I've seen folk get up out of a service and walk out because conviction, convincement was upon their soul and they did not want to hear it. Many times I have seen folk get upset and mad because the truth was spoken to them and they did not like it and they ran away from it. My question tonight is, why do people reject the advice of wisdom? Why do we reject that? Well, let me suggest to you a few things, and perhaps through that we can explore our own hearts and our own lives, because God wants us, each of us, to stop and look at ourselves and seek to see and allow God to improve in our lives. First thing that I've noticed is that people love to be complimented. We like to have pats on the back. We like for people to notice us. We like for folks to say, "Hey, you're doing a good job." Oh, but we hate to be convicted. We hate to have reproof come our way. It's easy to accept compliments. And no matter how humble we try to make ourselves out to be, we love it. We like compliments. We like that. We enjoy when folks notice that we do things in the proper way. But oh my goodness, we do not like to have folks convict us of things. In contrast, conviction is not easy to accept, and all too often, we don't respond too well. I can stand in the pulpit and I can say, oh, I thank you for doing this, and it's so wonderful you did that. And those things are good and they are necessary. But at the same time, you can stand and you can say, hey, this is wrong. It's not to be in your life. And one will be heard and one will be rejected. Interesting how we are all are. However, to become wise, we need to change our attitude to this thing of conviction, this thing of reproof, this thing of convincement. For wisdom is seeking to speak to us. And much of what wisdom is going to do is say, hey, this is what you're doing wrong. We don't like to hear that. In some cases, our attitude in this thing is, I shouldn't say in some cases, in all cases, is of most importance. How do we accept when we have reproof come into our lives? We love compliments, but not necessarily reproof. Wisdom also many times comes in an unattractive package. You may laugh at my illustration after I say unattractive, because my thought is, and goes back to the person of Balaam. And Balaam was on his donkey and he was headed to go try to bring a curse upon Israel. And his donkey falls down in front of him and will not go any farther and sits on his behind, and he whips the donkey once and twice and three times. And finally the donkey speaks to him. Fascinating story, is it not? But oh, how often it is that God, in His wondrous grace to us, brings to us wisdom in an unattractive package. For the wisdom that donkey was trying to bring that day was, hey, there is the death angel in front of you, Balaam. And if you don't stop, you are going to die. Usually we do not appreciate folks who reprove us. I have not seen too many young folks walk up to their mom and dad after they've been reproved and say, I thank you so much for telling me I was wrong. How many parents ever really had that happen? Sometimes our children might realize and recognize, hey, I needed correction this thing, but not too often are they going to kiss you on the cheek and say, oh, thank you so much. And nor are they going to send you a card and say, would you please reprove me over something? I know I need it. We don't send those kind of requests out, do we? We just are not a people who really appreciate people bringing reproof upon our lives. But may I say to you tonight something that needs to be understood. We need to really pay attention to what is being said rather than who. I've seen many times when somebody was reproved by an individual, and rather than taking it and listening to what was being said, it is automatically reversed and it's thrown right back into the individual's face. Well, you! I'm going to guarantee you tonight, many a husband and wife, your argument is just exactly that. The husband or the wife may bring a correction to the spouse, and immediately, rather than receiving the reproof, rather than receiving that convincement or conviction, a reversal is made and a reminder is brought up about the other one. Rather than hearing what was said, it's who said it. And attacking them as opposed to looking inwardly at ourselves. Rather than being defensive, we need to ask ourselves, what can I learn from this conviction? What can I learn from this reproof? Here's an interesting thing. There are two groups of people who are probably more likely to reprove us than we would like for them to be. Most often, our friends are not going to do that. They don't want to offend us. But sometimes those who could care less about you to tell you exactly what's wrong with you. You might walk up to your friend and say, "Oh, would you tell me what's wrong with me?" They probably won't do it, though they'd like to. But many times, those who don't really care for us will. And they will lay it out real nice and won't be real gentle at times. Is that not true? There are those who, in our opinion, are sometimes worse off than we are. Here's an interesting scenario. Family A has 4 children and they're all brats. And family B comes walking in. They have 3 children. They have 1 brat. But the family A that has 4 brats out of 4, they're going to let you know about your brat. Rather than receiving that and taking that into account and realizing, hey, there is something wrong with my brat, we don't want to receive that, do we? But those kinds of things take place in our lives because we think they're worse off than us. Who do they think they are telling me? Well, you know what? You are right. But we still want to listen to what's being said. The greatest help that has been in my life through the years is listening to the critics. I've not cared for the critics. And I could say all those things about the critics. But to listen to those remarks. If we, as the fool, believe that we're always right and will not take any reproof, we are in bad, bad shape. Because wisdom wants to teach us. Most people do not recognize the priceless diamonds of wisdom. I believe there's 2 very valuable gifts offered for those who will develop a proper attitude toward reproof. Notice verse 23 with me again. It says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning?" That's in verse 22. "And fools hate knowledge. Turn you," in verse 23, "at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." Notice what God says. Those of us who would be willing to listen to the words of reproof, those who would be willing to listen to what wisdom has to say and not be so stubborn and bullheaded as to believe we're always right and allow God to speak to our hearts, God says He will pour out to us His Spirit. Marvelous. And not only that, He says He will give us words of wisdom. In other words, God will give us the ability then to help others to make wise decisions. On the other hand, there are consequences for not listening to reproof. There are consequences for not listening to wisdom when she seeks to speak to us and to try to help us along the line. Verse number 24 and 5 and 6, he says this, "Because I have called and ye refused, I stretched out my hand and no remedy regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel with none of my proof." Verse 26, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." She laughs. Why does she laugh? She laughs in spite of good counsel. People choose the way of folly. In spite of good counsel, instead of admitting their mistake, which means a certain amount of humility, people refuse to turn back, and wisdom can't help them. I have found the greatest enemy in the matter of true wisdom from God is a lack of humility. Pride. Which really describes the scorner, the fool, and even the simple. People continue with their original decision and go farther in their folly, and wisdom laughs at their situation. I believe we don't grow. I believe we do not have the wisdom of God because we lack humility. It's the very same thing that causes people not to get saved. But before anything can be fixed, it is necessary to realize it is broken. Yeah. And yet, the scorner sets above and looks down with disdain. And yet, the fool believes he has all of the answers. And in both of their cases, especially, pride disallows for growth in their lives. Disallows. We have spoken much about the Holy Spirit of God. God wants to have control of our lives. Is that not true? God wants control of our lives. God wants yours, God wants mine. The only way that takes place is when we yield to Him. Yielding is humility. It is yielding to He. It is yielding to those that God places over. Here in a family, child says, I'm yielded to God. Will not obey their parent. Will not honor their parent. You're not yielded to God. We can say it in church. We can say it in any organization. There must be the yielding to God and all that He's placed over us. It's a yielding to His Word and what He has to say to us. Because yielding is saying, it's not me, it's God. There's the key. What happened to these? Why did wisdom laugh as they go on down the street? Because they would not listen to what she had to say. As she tried to teach them the right way. Brethren, tonight God is seeking to show us day by day the errors of our life. Are we allowing Him to teach us those? Or are we a scorner? Are we a fool? Are we too simple-minded to understand what God is trying to do? Wisdom is speaking. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. There is that tremendous need for each one of us to humble ourselves before You. Lord God, tonight, may You have that supreme place in our hearts, in our lives. Oh God, tonight, bless and work in hearts. May Your will be accomplished. May wisdom bring about the fullness of the Spirit in our lives and the ability to transfer it unto others. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Life for you to stand.